This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Four! Errant left, errant right, three putt. Wow, they are getting their asses kicked out of Chittagong. It is on, and we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We are Tiki and Tierney here on this Thursday in New York, but of course, everyday broadcast around the country, 3 hours, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific, 1-855-212-4227. Oof! I mean, all you got to say is Rory shot an 80.
Yes.
Rory McIlroy shot an 80 today.
That's
bad. An 80.
Not as bad as Scott Gregory.
What did he shoot, a 22 over par?
92.
Jay, wow. I mean, whoa. It is a lot harder. And you and I thought that this would be hard.
Not like this, though.
No. Corey Pavin didn't envision this. We had him on the show the other day. It was nuts. So we'll obviously get a lot of golf out of the show. I got to tell you, though, if you are thinking about, and if you're not thinking about doing it, you should really change your thought process and start thinking about doing it. This Journey Def Leppard concert was phenomenal
was
last
amazing?
Night. It was awesome. I mean,
How did they play back-to-back?
Or well, did they? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I was a little surprised. Because I'm a little more of a Def Leppard guy. I mean, well, I'm definitely more of a Def Leppard guy.
Yeah.
But I also really like Journey.
I would be the other way.
You would be the other way.
Yeah.
I just happen to love Def Leppard. Like, I love Def Leppard, and I really, really like Journey. So, either way, it didn't matter who opened the concert. But I was a little, intrigued to see, like, does Journey open? They shouldn't, based on the accomplishments, because Journey's got more platinum hits.
No doubt.
Journey's in the Hall of Fame. Def Leppard's not.
Right.
Not yet. They will be. More top 10 singles. Those are some shots from last night with me and Jen. And Journey actually opened up, which was a little bit of a surprise for me. But they rocked out. Two totally different vibes. Two totally different visual sets. It was phenomenal.
Journey is the older group by a little bit.
Yeah, Journey formed in San Francisco in 1973.
And then Def Leppard was
78. Their first album was 80. Their first breakthrough was in 83.
I wonder if they switch it. We have to.
That's a good question. They very well might.
Because
they might.
How long was the concert? I guess is the other side of the question. Because if it was long. Then maybe they play Journey early. If people are like, all right, I don't want to be here during Def Leppard because it's loud. You know, it's a little bit, it's too close, right? They're too close in start years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're talking to
two totally different genres,
yeah,
you mean?
Or no, two different demographics. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the same demo.
If Journey was like the 1960s,
I know what you're saying.
Okay, they'd go first.
If it was Creedence Clearwater,
yes, exactly.
Or Simon and Garfunkel,
yes.
And Def Leppard,
yes, exactly.
You might not quite have the meshing.
Yeah,
it was great. By the way, great, great big props, my boy Joey Scaleri over at Live Nation. He left great tickets and, I feel a lot better. I'll put it this way. There's my beautiful wife, Jen. It was awesome because when I went, now, last time Live Nation hooked us up was for the Guns N' Roses concert, mm-hmm. which was with the boys. I got to tell you, it's so much better going to the concert with your wife.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different, like, the pregame is different, the vibe is different, but for this kind of music,
you're not getting out of control.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I feel great today. Last year after the Guns N' Roses concert,
I was surprised you came in.
I'm not really sure what I said on the air. I know that it was coherent because I usually find a way to make sure that it somehow works.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the hell I said. Today I know what I'm saying because we didn't get out of our minds. But the music was great. They sounded so good. They sounded crisp. Steve Smith hit. He must have done about, I would say, maybe an 8-minute drum solo. Mm. Now, the guy didn't drop dead.
Wow.
I mean, he's not like he's 30 years old.
No.
He's got to be 58, 59, 60.
Hey.
So it was cool, man. By the way, next week, you got to get to one of these concerts.
I just always forget. I don't think about it.
Well, they're playing Friday night in Newark, New Jersey.
Are they really?
You want me to reach out to Joey and see? I mean,
next Friday?
This Friday.
This Friday. Ooh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right. Now, if I didn't have surgery tomorrow, then which is another story.
Then I would probably go again. Because I don't have anything to do Friday night.
Let me know. I think Joe is watching
it's,
now.
It's Father's Day weekend, too.
So, which means Tiki, for once, finally gets to dictate what's happening.
I get to do what I want to do.
What happens in the house.
And Newark is, I mean, that's 15 minutes from my house.
20 minutes. Yeah. The Prudential Center.
I might have to do that.
And there's, let me know if you all take care of it. And there's nothing like the Garden. No. The Garden. And you know what I love about going to the Garden? I've said this a few times, and then we'll get into the golf here, but it really was an amazing show. And the reason I wanted to spend, you know, at least a couple of minutes on this is because we did a great contest on the show. 10 winners, the grand prize winner going to San Francisco. Yep. Two iconic bands, great people, great friends at Live Nation. But I love going to the Garden because every time I'm at the Garden, it's for work.
Yeah.
My whole professional career. It's so nice to walk in there, you know, unless that I had a couple of vodka tonics, right? You can't have scotch in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of vodka, just kind of look around, look up at the rafters. The Madison Square Garden's magical for a concert. Yeah, it really is a great venue.
Last time I went there was Billy Joel.
We're working that for my father-in-law for his birthday.
Nice.
I think in October. So, great night, Live Nation, high props. Love you guys. Thank you for everything on behalf of obviously me and, of course, Jen. So we started to talk about this here, Tiki, about the golf, right? And who shot 22 over par? What's this
Scott
guy's name?
Gregory. He's young. Scott Gregory. I mean, he's the British amateur open or British amateur champion.
He's the amateur
from
guy.
From 2016. So he's only 2 years in.
We'll pass over him.
He got overwhelmed.
Look at this, though, Tiki.
Yeah.
Somebody shot 22 over par.
Yeah.
Somebody shot 13 over par.
Yeah.
We're not even getting started here. No. Somebody shot 12 over par. Four golfers shot 11 over par. Six shot 10 over par. Seven shot 9 over par. Five shot 8 over par. Seven more shot 7 over par. 13, and they're still out there, shot 6 over par. And eight shot 5 over par.
The disparity here has to be maybe one of the it can't be the greatest ever, because you go back. I did some research on the worst to score to par.
Mm-hmm.
It was a U.S. Open in Massachusetts. I'll get to it in a second. But the disparity, because there are guys under par. It's not like it's impossible.
Sure.
Henley's sitting here 3 under, right? So I don't know what he's doing differently than some of these other guys. Maybe he's only a couple holes in and hasn't imploded yet, but You got 3 under and you got 22 over. I mean, that's an enormous gap between who's playing this thing well and who's not. And interestingly, the leaderboard, there's no names you know at the
top of
it.
That's going to change. Watch.
Of course it
will. That's going to change.
There are no names you know.
Let me pop it on that.
Phil was bad. Yeah. Rory was bad. DJ is okay.
Spieth was terrible.
Spieth was horrible. He finished plus 8. To 78. Tiger's not doing much better right now. But
Tiger got a 7 on the opening four.
But he stabilized. Tiger Woods stabilized. He started plus 3, then went plus 4, and now through 5, I think. He's still sitting at plus 4. So he's doing okay. But still, I mean, the disparity in scores is crazy when you look at the leaderboard, because none of them are the big names. You think
is this
the
good,
big
though?
Names would get this.
Is this fun? Is
I
this
love
good?
This, man.
It's funny you say that. You say you love this. It's actually a poll question. I may as well get it out now. Because one of the great things, one of the great traits about the U.S. Open is that we watch the best in the world struggle. You know, it's not the PGA Championship where you're going to light it up and shoot a minus 18.
Nope.
Although there's been a couple of times last year at Erin Hills, I think the winning score was minus 15 or minus 16. So the U.S. Open doesn't always give you this. Chambers Bay was right around minus 5, whatever. I for a long time, I always said the thing that I love about the U.S. Open is because, you know, I can sit down on my couch and I can watch the basically video game guys.
Yeah.
That's how they play golf. Like, they're on autopilot, and I'm incredibly jealous. I like to see them struggle. I honestly enjoy it. I have no problems. I love when they scuffle, when they're in the weeds, when they're whacking away, when they look lost, when their distance control is compromised, when they're looking at the heavens saying, what's happening? Like we all do.
Yes.
However, this is a little bit too much. I'm not enjoying it so far.
Why?
I think it's too punitive.
But it's not
almost unfair.
You have negative. You have Russell Henley at 3 under. You have Brian Gay at 2 under. Ian Poulter, I guess we know him. And Shoffley, we know. And Dustin Johnson, we know. Duffner, we know. They're all at 1 under. They're doing okay.
It's also early for all those guys. They're all on the front nine. One of them.
True, but it feels like
except Poulter, who's finished up.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, though, BT, I think it's punitive to start early because the wind was so ridiculously strong. But you know this out on the island, it dies down as the day goes on a little bit. So
a little bit.
So you might be better off as the scores might come down as it still goes on. Even though, as I look at this now on the PGA or wherever we're watching this, those flags are still whipping.
It's still whipping pretty good. We got Fox on in the studio here, but that's a bad sign for Tiger Woods because if that's true, although it is still windy now, generally that flips. He's going to have the early tee time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You would think that you have to take advantage of the afternoon tee time,
you're right,
where the conditions are quote unquote a little more benign. Get home at about, you know, even if you're plus two, plus three, don't shoot yourself out of it. I don't know what hole it was. I was watching this morning at home, and just fathom this. It was a 252-yard par three, all right? Which, I mean, I've probably stepped up to that length hole par three. There's been a couple. I probably played maybe six, seven times in my whole life.
Okay.
I use a three-wood, basically, is what you use.
I'd pull out the driver.
Maybe if I had a little wind in my face, I'd hit the driver, too. They were playing today, 252, with a 14-mile-per-hour wind in your face. These guys are hitting there with irons, and they're getting there.
Yeah.
Now, they're not, you know, necessarily on the green, but they're pin high. Well, their distance is fine. They're just a little errant.
Well, that's the problem.
This course is tough.
Well, that's what's tough with this course, especially with the wind, because you got to knock down your shot. But then the greens are dry, so that it flies off the greens. You can't hold any of the greens. That's why all these guys, they get close, and they got to dial in with their short game, and they can't because they have to throw these lofted clubs into the greens.
To hope it sits soft.
Yeah, to hope it sits soft, but
then the wind knocks it down.
The wind knocks it down, and then it comes back to you. So it's difficult really because of the weather conditions, not so much because of the course layout, even though that's not very easy either.
Oh, man, look how big that green is, by the way.
It looks beautiful, though.
It's a gorgeous course. You've been out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely phenomenal. A lot of the greens, I played it once, a lot of the greens are crowned. So to Tiki's point, I don't know how the hell they get it, but if a ball checks up off my club, it's by accident. I don't even know how I did it. But if you can't stop the ball with great precision, you're going to funnel down.
Yep.
You're going to funnel down into these landing areas. Tiger Woods, I'll tell you, the first hole to me was a real interesting microcosm of the day, although Dustin Johnson already has a birdie, so he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, and Justin Thomas in the same group, all right? They teed off about an hour and a half or so ago. Iron, 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 fairway, 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 par four, first hole, right? Of the three fair, and they're all about 152 yards out, whatever it is, they're using maybe a nine iron, maybe. All right. Not one of them's on the green.
Yeah.
Not one of them is on the green.
I mean,
three world-class golfers from a $150.
You're trying to figure it out.
None in the green.
Yeah, but they're trying to figure it out. It's the weather.
But that's not good. That's what I mean.
But I like that, though.
See, that's where we get from
I like the challenge of this. Now, this isn't punitive. I mentioned the all-time score to par
in
an open. So it happened a century ago. 1898.
Is it at Oakmont?
No, Myopia Hunt Club up in Massachusetts.
I don't even know that.
It hosted,
that course.
I think, four U.S. Opens.
Really?
And then it got. I think they said, "All right, this is too much."
What was the last time it hosted? I don't know that
1904,
one. 1904. I was
going to
say
five or something like that.
Gotcha.
But J.D. Tucker in 1898.
Oh yeah, J.D. Tucker.
157 in a round.
Get the hell out of here.
157.
He won?
No, that was his round. That was his opening round. 157. But also, a couple of years later, at the same club, Myopia Hunt Club, the winning score to par.
No Utopia in Myopia.
331. Not one golfer broke 80.
That's ridiculous.
Not one golfer broke 80. But that's how they designed it. That's how he wanted it.
Not one golfer broke 80.
Not one golfer in 1901 broke 80 in any round.
Yeah.
The winning score was 331 to par.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's a real good throwback. I got a little more recent history for you. Then we'll get a break, get some calls, tell you the Twitter question, get into some hoops, a little more on the golf. And I do want to get your opinions if this is a little bit too much. I mean, a lot of you, I think, share our opinion that U.S. Open's appealing because you see the best really scuffle. And it kind of makes us feel better about our own pathetic games. But I think this is a bit much. Tiki still likes it. 1-855-212-4227. So last year at Erin Hills, real quick, Erin Hills 2017, it was minus 16.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opening round 65, and you had two 66s. So the scoring was there if you hit the ball to the right quadrant on the green and certainly the right spots on the fairway. In Oakmont, which is a tough course, back in 2016, minus four was the winning score. You had a 66 and a bunch of 67s in the opening round. At Chambers Bay, that's when Dustin three-jacked when he should have won it. Of course, Spieth stole it. The winning score was minus five in 2015. You had two 65s, a 66, and a bunch of 67s. And then one more for you, just some more context. Back in 2014 at Pinehurst, winning score is minus nine. You had a 65 in round one and a bunch of 67s and 68. So I lay out, I know that sometimes you could get thrown all those numbers at you and it's like, wow, take it easy. I don't even know what you're saying. The bottom line is there's not many good scores today.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think it's fair. Mm-hmm. When you have, and again, it's an early read we're probably 70% of the way through round one, right in that neighborhood, 70-ish percent. But it just, it's lagging. Yeah. It's flat. It's boring. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling, and I love golf. You know that. I don't think this is a good look for the USGA. They got to fix it. And I don't even know if they can fix it.
No, not Mike, right now.
That's
not
the problem.
Not in play.
No, Mike Davis has spoken about this at length the last couple of days. He's like, listen, when it's windy, when it's windy and it's adverse, like it's in your face, we'll push the pins up, but there's only so many ways we can manipulate Mother Nature. Right. So maybe we got to buckle in for the next 3.5 days and whatever happens, happens.
Well, on the par 5, 5th, Tiger just got one back. So
he got a bird? Three. Attaboy, Tiger. Attaboy, Tiger. All right, 855-212-4227. Do we like watching these pros struggle, or do we prefer, you know, just a birdie fest, the birdie train? We'll get to that. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up as well. I think we might have Shaquille O'Neal tomorrow, Shaq, and he's got a little bet to pay off, so we'll talk about that as well. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Working up a sweat when you're on the field is one thing, but breaking into a sweat in your car is quite another. If you turn on the AC in your vehicle and hot air comes out, it's time to take some serious steps. So get your vehicle to the coolest place in town, O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and while your car's AC may eventually need professional repairs, O'Reilly Auto Parts has what you need to make it through the hottest months of the summer. Summer can be bad enough. There's no reason to drive around and then step out and look like you got out of a sauna. It's going to be hot for a good while. But if it's cool, there's a good chance Murray makes it, and O'Reilly Auto Parts has it in stock. Everything from refrigerants to Murray AC compressors. So not only do you get what you need to make your ride cool and comfortable, you get it with great service, great parts, and guaranteed low prices. Don't let summer spoil your cool. It's Murray AC Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney here as we continue to watch the carnage during the commercial break. Shinnecock Hills eating people up and spitting them out at a very rapid rate on the first round of the U.S. Open. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next here. By the way, we'll get to this coming up at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, top of the next hour here. The fact that the Lakers, I don't take issue with them doing this. I think it's the right thing, telling Kuzma and Lonzo to tap the brakes on nonsense. But the fact that they had to, man, that's worrisome.
I think it goes back to what happened last year.
No, totally.
Swaggy P and DeAndre Russell. So, I mean, they can't let these things dominate their locker room and the news cycle around them, because that became a big issue last year.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name? His girl, Iggy Azalea. Iggy. Causing
got him all blasted in the hotel room recording him. I mean, what is this, third grade?
I'm telling you.
Jeez. These kids. I just don't get it. But we'll get to that. And also, Brando Chambly coming up in about an hour, our buddy from the Golf Channel. Mm-hmm. And how about this? Looks like a little tiny mini Woj bomb. Believes that he dropped that Pop is going to be done in 2020. Mm. So Popovich is indeed, if that's accurate, and when it comes to hoops, Woj usually is. If that is the timeline there, that's going to impact, obviously, LeBron, going to impact Kawhi. So we got a lot to talk about today, just not golf. Oh, not just golf, I should say. Some other stuff going on, too, plus football at the 40s. I don't know. I don't know. I usually have a sense of what our audience is thinking. Not that it's always right.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly confident saying, all right, we talked about this. I could see 70%-ish of our audience, you know, kind of going this way or that way. I don't know if they're with me or with you on this one about watching these golfers get their brains beaten in at Shinnecock.
It's also Thursday, so it's early. And we're only, you know, maybe 3/4 of a way through the first round. And as we sit here and watch them searching for a ball in the rough, the high fescue over
there. Is
that
anybody we care about?
I don't think it is, but it doesn't matter. Whatever. But actually it is. It's Dustin Johnson, so who's in second place right now at 2 under. But maybe you haven't seen it. You haven't read enough of the stories or seen the scoreboard yet. So it doesn't resonate quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there's at least 5, maybe 8 guys that are under par right now, so it doesn't feel egregious. Even though it's treated some of the stars of the PGA pretty badly this morning. Those guys that went out early got hammered.
Phil was pretty – actually, Phil, I think, finished the best of the group at +6, right? His group, and Rory was 80. You know, you do raise a really good point. I mean, this is what we do for a living.
Yeah.
So it's easy for you and I to wake up and track the leaderboard, pop
it's
it on
it's
TV.
It's our job to watch this.
No doubt. You know, flip on. I had channel 92 on Sirius XM coming in, listen to the guys on Do the Golf, which I actually, the first, I think I told you, the first time I ever listened to golf on the radio. And I did it out of sheer necessity. I was out east at my sister's summer home in Long Island, and this is when Phil won the British Open, the Open Championship.
Yep.
And just based on logistics, we didn't even have kids yet. I had to get back for something for work. I don't remember what it was. So we left there. I'm like, I wanted nothing more than just to sit on the couch and watch with my dad and watch Phil, you know, chase his first British Open, something nobody ever thought Phil would be able to win because he likes to play the ball high, unlike the style that you need out there. So long story short, I listened to it on Sirius. I'm like, this is actually riveting. Like the way they do
it. Well, you have to pay really close attention when you're listening to it because they're out there. Mm-hmm. Right,
they're right near the home.
They're not sitting up in a booth,
like
the commentators on television. They're standing right next to the guys. They have those big headphones on, with the antenna sticking out. There's some guy with some boom mic also, and they can't be loud and obnoxious because it'll disrupt what's going on. It's a completely different listen because you have to listen.
But
it's not supported by any visual.
No, it's not. But they'll drop the pizzazz. Like if they're like, we'll go Dustin Johnson, a little sidewinder, 25 feet down the hill, left to right. Dustin here, and home in two. He's -3 for the backside. Gallery pauses. They wait for Dustin to do his thing. That's got a nice pace. That is at the cup, and that is in the heart of the jar. Like they actually kind of they work up nicely. Well,
they'll start talking loudly when they know that their voices are drowned out
by
the crowd.
All right, so here's an early look. We put the poll question up on Tiki and Tierney.
That's funny.
So I'm good,
BT.
Listen, you know, my buddies always said they're like, you can do play-by-play for golf. I'm like, dude, number one, I suck. Number two, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. What golf channel is going to hire me to do golf?
That's a good point.
Hey, bring the guy who plays lefty and righty.
Wait, where are you from?
And shoots 103.
Bring him in. Brooklyn?
Yeah, right? Can you imagine that? So here's the poll question. As inherently appealing as some of the traits are for the U.S. Open, one of which remains strategical setup, and how the world's best players are punished for errant shots, creating a feel most high handicappers can relate to. However, looking at round one scores, we want to know, is Shinnecock too hard? Mm. Hell no. Punish away. First option.
Yep.
Second option.
That's me.
I didn't vote yet. Did you actually vote?
I have not yet.
All right. He's going to probably do that right now. Yep. Way too ugly. I haven't voted yet, but I'm leaning in that direction. And the third one, and I might even vote for this. Too early to tell. The one thing, as I started to say about listening to golf, and I kind of got sidetracked by my ridiculous golf play-by-play, but the point is that you and I do this for a living, luckily, and we consume this, we breathe this. I do think your point about people maybe not fully being in the flow of how ugly it is and how chopped, because it's Thursday, they're working, they might check a leaderboard on their phone for sure, maybe get a snippet on Fox, which is where it's on, maybe get a hold or two. But if this was going on, if this happens on Saturday or Sunday, to my greater point here, if you see guys chipping out sideways and guys three jacking, and you know, I don't care how, you see, to me, it doesn't matter if there's nine guys within a single shot.
Yep.
If everybody's, if bogey's winning the hole, that's not exciting. That's not exciting to me. I need birdies to punctuate big events.
But what should golf be? Should golf be, let's excel, let's crush it? You know what I mean? They put it to par. At least theoretically, you design a course to play to par, correct?
Sure. Absolutely. So that's with the slope and the, yep.
Do you want golfers, whether you're great or not, playing to par, or do you want them crushing par? See, crushing par.
Oh, I don't want either. I think I want somewhere in between. I don't want them crushing par where it's, you know, winning score is -19. That's no fun.
No.
And every par five.
It's like too easy.
Yeah, way too easy.
It feels too easy.
And no, absolutely. And I also want the threat of a snowman. I want pins tucked behind lakes and behind bunkers.
Which I think this is what this is.
I agree. But the two options you give me, do I want them to blow past par or hit par? No. I just want, I think the perfect U.S. Open score is -4, -5. Because whoever shoots -4, -5, invariably at some point during those four rounds had a day over par where he was scuffling.
Yeah,
maybe not a 77. Mm-hmm. He had a 73, a little pedestrian, just couldn't get it going, missed a few putts. Left a few shots out there. I would say more directly, I just want it to be fair. And I don't feel like it's fair so far.
And really, it's not because of the wind. The big issue is the wind. Because you can't hit lofty shots into the green when the wind is this whipping.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys are playing outside of their game. It's not what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they
out of their comfort zone.
Well, how do they take the – I mean, Tiger's sitting right now at about 170 yards of the hole. He's probably got like an 8-iron.
He's got a 6-iron, actually. He's got a 6-iron.
I mean.
Wow.
And usually this would be an 8-iron. So now he's got to
pull
out –
might be a 9-iron if he's got a little downwind. Yeah.
Now he's got a 6-iron, and he's got to – try to figure out how this is going to – now he sticks it because he's Tiger.
He's about 11 feet there, but so
you know
he's going
what
for
I mean.
Birdie.
I hear they're not used to doing that.
No?
169? Give me the pitch. Give me the 9.
So right? I guess really what you're saying is whoever adjusts the quickest.
Whoever adjusts the
quickest.
And
we'll get those adjustments because they're the best players on the planet.
Until the wind stops tomorrow and they're like, wait, what did I do
yesterday?
Then
they got to adjust again.
What did I do yesterday?
Yeah, it's an attrition. It's a battle I mean, it's 72 holes of hell.
That's why I love this.
All right, all right. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next. Good set of questions. Samson did a good job with this. So we will do that after Axe Update. Brandel Chambly coming up in hour number 2. Lakers intervening, telling Kuzma and Lonzo to knock off the childish juvenile nonsense. So we'll get to that as well. And is Popovich done after 2020 as a little Woj bomb indicated? And if so, how does that alter the plans of not just Kawhi Leonard, but also LeBron and extension others? So we've got a lot to get to. Chris Broussard is going to stop by from Fox Sports third hour right around, that'll be 2:20 Pacific and, of course, 5:20 Eastern. So Axe Update is now. Leaderboard's cooking. We'll see what's up with that. Inbounds, Out of Bounds when we get back. Here's Axe. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. All right, good stuff. Thursday afternoon, 40 minutes past the hour, here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. So, Tiki, as per our poll question, before we get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds here, what do you think their percentage is split? Is our audience savage? Do they enjoy?
I think most people are savage.
You're probably right. Let's see. I believe last time it was around 60%. I think that's what Santa said. All right, so 55% say, nope, keep punishing away. Yeah. It's trending, though. It was like 60% on a last break or so. So 20% say, yeah, way too ugly. It's kind of compromising the enjoyment. And then 25% say, a little bit too early to tell. And I also got a couple of the tweets. Apparently, Def Leppard and Journey, I guess they flip-flop who opens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I should have mentioned this because I ran down like the platinum. Because Journey, if you're looking at like the back of a baseball card, Journey's got the quote-unquote better resume, more platinums, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're in there. Def Leppard's not. More top 10 singles. But Def Leppard still has their original band. Their original band is still together. And I probably should have said that at the outset. Yeah.
Wow, that is.
But Journey, that's the whole crew,
1978?
Man. 78. Yeah, Journey was 73.
Yeah.
Obviously with Perry, he's gone, with no longer with them. And maybe that's part of it. But I guess maybe in Newark, they're going to flip that. Maybe Def Leppard opens up. But just their styles, it's probably the way to do it. Journey, a little more slow, a little more methodical.
It eases you
and
in,
you bang it out.
It eases you into the craziness that's
coming
with Def Leppard.
All right. You ready for a little Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Deke?
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Inbounds, Out of Bounds brought to you by Discover Card. Stressing over college costs, Discover Card student loan offers great rates, zero fees, plus a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com. Limitations do apply. Here we go, partner.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Matt Patricia, let's talk about the Lions a little bit here. Matt Patricia's come under fire multiple times since being hired as the head coach in Detroit. February, of course, with the surfacing of a 1996 assault accusation. Now, local media believes that Patricia's at risk of losing his locker room already.
Come on.
Boy, the Tigers aren't good. They're looking to print some stories. I guess they weren't too enthused with the hiring of Dwayne Casey for the Pistons. They got to write about something, right? So now the stories are that he's too tough on his players. Wow. Including making them run. Oh, God forbid a football player runs when they make a mistake in practice. So, star wideout Marvin Jones defended his coach. This was on the NFL Network Good Morning Football Today.
Shoot, I mean, this is football. We run. You know what I'm saying? So, nobody's complaining. Everybody just going out here working hard, and we're having fun doing it. So, whoever's grandma wrote that story, I don't know.
Wow. Oof, okay. Zingage.
Oh, that's great.
Inbounds, out of bounds, Mr. Former Running Back. An NFL head coach making players run as punishment is.
I think it's great. This is inbounds, man. It's what you're supposed to do. It's what camps are all about. You got to get in shape. And the way you get in shape is by running. And if you, it's just another excuse to be athletic. I don't mind this at all. And if you don't mess up and you get to chill a little bit, good for you. But at some point, you're going to have to run anyways. So this is completely inbounds for me.
I mean, please tell me that we're not moving in the direction of, you know, like if you mess up a play in high school basketball and you can't run a suicide.
Yeah.
They're going to put whistles away in gym class. Mm. I mean, good God almighty.
Go cry to mom and dad.
Jeez.
You made me run, mommy.
Yeah, yeah. Go play video game, nerd. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You mess up, you got to run. The Detroit Lions are 553 and 648 at a bunch of ties in their relatively pathetic existence. They've got no Super Bowls. None. The last playoff win was in 1991, like when Vanilla Ice was doing music. I guess if he was even, was he lip syncing?
No.
No, he was singing. That was, Millie Vanilli.
You're thinking of Millie Vanilli.
I got you. So you got to do what you got to do. But I think there's a greater story here. And I wonder if this is, and I'm just theorizing, I could be totally off base here. I wonder if some of the local media has already said, you know what?
Turned.
We don't like you.
Yeah.
That allegation that came up, that assault,
that's
accusation.
Unfair to him, but I hear you.
I'm not saying it's fair.
I know, but I hear you.
But that's a really quick trigger. This isn't Philly. You might get that in maybe in New York. But Detroit's usually a little, not that they're soft by any stretch, but that's aggressive.
You're losing the team because you make them run makes no sense.
That's aggressive.
You're losing the team because you're an ass to them? That's another.
No, absolutely.
But you make them run because they mess up? That's football, man.
What are they going to write if he's 0-2?
I know.
I'm at a start
for Patricia.
That's
something to keep an eye on. That's something to keep an eye on.
Oh, you better believe we will.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, this is good. During Tuesday's title parade, the Warriors' Draymond Green threw a little shade at multiple Cavs players. First, he wore a shirt with a clenched fist with three rings on it, with the word mood underneath, obviously trolling LeBron, we know that, who posted the same image during the season, and then had this to say about why, I love this cut, why he refused to shake Tristan Thompson's hand, although Thompson actually tried to do it, and here's what Draymond Green said about that.
They want a political answer.
Right.
Give it to him, bro.
But the fact that
give it to him, Trey.
We just cut from a different cloth. You know, there's a lot of guys in this league. They saw. We just come from a different club.
That's real.
That's all I really got.
That's real.
I told one of them dudes from Cavs after the game, he tried to shake my hand. I said, Tristan, we ain't cut the same.
Who's that guy? That's real. That's real, Draymond. That's, boy, that's very street-oriented, Draymond. Boy, that's really real. I'm just kidding. All right, so inbounds, out of bounds. Green's behavior. Oh, God. After sweeping the Cavs was a display of poor sportsmanship.
Yes, it was inbounds, but who cares? They won. You know what I mean? Look, it wasn't poor sportsmanship. Yes, young men, you always are supposed to shake the opponent's hand for the 5 to 12-year-old, 15-year-old.
No
always
doubt.
Shake the opponent's
LeBron
hand.
LeBron didn't, by the way. LeBron
exactly.
Bounced.
When you get to the point where you're being paid to do this, it's all fair, bro. So this is it's in bounds. It was poor sportsmanship, but that's what happens in professional sports.
Although I do love the hockey tradition. No matter how much you beat the living stuffing out of
hockey.
Each other.
That's hockey.
I understand.
Because you might literally get the stuffing beat out of you if you don't the next time you're on the ice with whoever you're dissing.
I know. All right. How am I going to answer this? So Green's behavior after sweeping the Cavs was a display of poor sportsmanship. The answer to that is obviously inbounds.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to say out of bounds in this regard. This is not how I'm going to teach my children. I totally agree. Yep. When you're 9, 10, 12, 15, high school, college, when you're a pro, it's a little different. I understand that, although I'd still like to see sportsmanship at every level. But at that, when you don't like somebody, don't be disingenuous. Don't shake their hand. Just don't fight them. Just walk the other way. But because he's being so true to who he is, I'm going to give him points on that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say out of bounds.
All right.
It's not a complete deviation of
dude, he pushed James Harden in the grill.
He mushed him in the face the opening 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, we had no beef. He just who he is.
Draymond Green's a tough guy.
Yeah.
He came from a tough neighborhood. This is not a show. This is not an act. This is not WWE. Tristan Thompson was trying to ham it up for the cameras. Draymond's saying, I don't play that. There's tough and there's real tough, and you're not real tough, and I am. So I got it. By the way, you hear the guys in the background. Keep it real, man. Keep it raw, Draymond.
That's
keep
real.
It real, man.
He should have said, yeah, go back to Chloe.
Go back to Chloe.
She'll give you a dap.
Oh, God. Don't get me going on that. Move on. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Yes, I love this question. Adrian Beltre ripped a double to right center for his 3,090th hit, almost 3,100 knocks, passing Ichiro as the all-time foreign-born hit king. All right. Beltre now, in his 21st full season, has 300 more home runs.
It's a lot.
I mean, he is quietly, but his numbers are insane. 900 more ribbies and an OPS of 50 points higher than Ichiro, who retired this year. We think he's fully retired. We're not fully sure.
Yeah, I think he is.
You never know with that guy.
Yeah, but he's slowing down a lot, man. His war is under one right now.
Dropping the war when he's 42 years old.
Negative 0.5.
Is that what it is? I didn't even know
that. At least Beltre's is in positive territory at one.
At one? All right, so Ichiro's his batting average is 30 points higher over his career. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you think batting average is a very important stat, most people don't, whatever. Or it's been de-emphasized a little bit. In or out? Beltre, you better answer this one right. Now, this is a real test for your baseball acumen here. Okay. Come a long way, my young student. Mm-hmm. In or out, Beltre is the better all-time player than Ichiro.
Inbounds. Don't get mad at me, BT.
I take this guy's credentials.
And I did some real research behind this. By the way, Adrian Beltre is hitting like 340 this year. It's unbelievable how good he is right now. And it's not like he's not getting any at-bats or playing at all. I went and looked at certain things that would make a difference in Ichiro's favor. Obviously, he's one of the greats all time, easy Hall of Famer. He has about 590 stolen bases. And I expected that to show up in run production, right? How many more? He's getting himself in scoring position all the time. Beltre has almost about the same, not more, runs scored than Ichiro does. And it's not... You know, the three-year difference doesn't make that big of a delta. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the numbers tell me, yes, Ichiro certainly is a great player, but Beltre has been better.
Oh boy. Okay. The answer's out of bounds here, Tiki. Beltre is not the better all-time player. Couple of things. Now, Beltre came up at the age of 19, all right? And we know Ichiro coming over from Japan at the age of 27.
Yep.
They both played, Beltre's still playing, obviously late. But the prime years, when you start at 27, you play till you're 40-something, you're missing, you know, 22, 23, 25, 26 prime years of production. So, you know, he's going to be negatively impacted statistically. The best, first of all, Ichiro is one of the best pure hitters of all time.
Of course.
Now,
he
I know the question is player, it's encompassing player. Everything.
Everything.
Which is why I got to point that.
RBIs, runs scored.
Okay. I got it. Ichiro's got 9 or 10 gold gloves, had a rocket from right field when he was in his prime, one of the best arms I've ever seen. Up there with Dave Winfield, Willie Stargell, Dave Parker. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a great, great arm. The answer is Ichiro. In all these years, and I like Beltre, but I do believe he's a little overrated, and people think I'm nuts when I say this. He's played for 20 years. He's led the league in a category three times. Mm-hmm. Three times. Yes,
but he's always there, BT.
Three times. Ichiro, 30.
Yes, but he hasn't made an All-Star in 10 years.
Go to baseballreference.com, all right? Type in both of their names and look for the bold, italicized unit in terms of the stats. To me, it paints a really vivid picture. Beltre's really good. Ichiro's an all-timer. Mm. That's just my opinion.
Are you in or are you out?
Chap, this would be the right one, by the way. I don't know how you feel about this. Major League Baseball and Facebook, they've teamed up.
I hate this.
Okay, all right.
This is terrible.
I hear you. They're broadcasting streaming-only games. This happened with the Mets early. Mets fans, they were beside themselves. But fans haven't quite adapted to the online-only format. So the first Facebook game between the Mets and the Phillies back in April was widely criticized, and now the Angels and the Mariners, their fans were expressing anger after last night's Facebook game since many have to pay for TV packages to watch their favorite teams. In or out, these Facebook games blocking out local TV stations is inbounds or out of bounds?
This is out of bounds, BT, because we think about the major markets and where there's a clientele that understands like technology and they're on social media and Facebook and they can know how to stream it from their iPhone or from their iPad or from their computer up to their television. Like, think about that happening.
Yep.
Now think about the majority of the country that barely has internet.
Like if my dad wants to watch the game.
Exactly.
Good luck getting that up on the tube, Dad.
It's not getting up there.
Can't even text message my dad.
And the reason that this is at, I mean, if this was a national game that was, you know, oh, I wish I could watch, I live in, say, California. I wish I could watch the Astros play. You're like, oh, you can watch it on Facebook. That's great.
Okay.
Now, say you're in California and you want to watch the
Rangers.
The Angels play.
Oh.
And you can't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can only get it on Facebook?
We're thinking the same thing.
That's out
of bounds, man. This is weak. I understand, monetize this, monetize that. But there's got to be, you know, for a sport that's trying to be more inclusive, they're making it a little difficult.
Not everybody has Facebook.
I'm with you.
Not everybody wants to be on social media. Not everybody's doing this.
I know.
Sorry.
I know. I mean, if we had to do it, you and I could obviously adapt, and we would do it, obviously. We do it for other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watch things right from my laptop. So do you. Of course. It's the way the
world.
When
the NFL plays in the whatever, like 9 in the morning. Sometimes I'm on my phone watching it.
Oh, the London game. Yeah. 9:30. I hear you. It's just, it's unnecessary. Now, I would be okay if they were experimenting just to see how it looked, but you also had the option of the local market.
Yeah.
It's just, this is wrong. This is out of bounds. Come on, it's wrong.
Tune in next time
for another edition
of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Do the segment there?
What's Tiger doing? I think so.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woods.
Two pars.
Got a couple of pars back to back, and he does have a birdie because he got one back. So since the 7, which is a triple, and the bogey, he's gotten birdie par par.
Yep.
All right, Tiger, that a boy. Lakers telling Kuzma and Lonzo, knock it off. They got problems. We'll hit that coming up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.